Red Sparrow, written by Jason Matthews and read by Jeremy Barr.
Twelve hours into his SDR, Nathaniel Nash was numb from the waist down. His feet and legs were wooden on the cobblestones of the Moscow side street. It had long since gotten dark as Nate ran the surveillance detection route designed to tickle the belly hairs of surveillance, to stretch them, to get them excited enough to show themselves. There was nothing, not a hint of units swirling, leapfrogging, banging around corners on the streets behind him, no reaction to his moves. Was he black? Or was he being had by a massive team? In the nature of the game, not seeing coverage felt worse than confirming you were covered in ticks. Early September, but it had snowed between the first and third hours of his SDR, which had helped him cover his car escape. Late that morning, Nate bailed out of a moving Lada Kombi, driven by Levitt from the station who, as he calculated the gap, wordlessly held up three fingers as they turned a corner onto an industrial side street, then tapped Nate's arm. FSB trailing surveillance, the Federal Security Service, didn't catch the escape in the 3-second interval and blew past Nate hiding behind a snowbank, Levitt leading them away. Nate left his active cover cell phone from the embassy economic section with Levitt in the car. The FSB were welcome to track the phone between Moscow's cell towers for the next 3 hours. Nate had banged his knee on the pavement when he rolled, and it had stiffened up in the first hours. But now it was as numb as the rest of him. As night fell, he had walked, slid, climbed, and scrambled over half of Moscow without detecting surveillance. It felt like he was in the clear. Nate was one of a small group of CIA internal ops officers trained to operate under surveillance on the opposition's home ground. When he was on the street working against them, there was no doubt, no introspection. The familiar fear of falling, of not excelling, disappeared. Tonight he was running hot and cool, working well. Ignore the cold that wraps around your chest, pushing tight. Stay in the sensory bubble, let it expand under the stress. His vision was acute. Focus on the middle distance. Look for repeat pedestrians and vehicles. Mark colors and shapes, hats, coats, vehicles. Without thinking much about it, he registered the sounds of the darkening city around him. The zing of the electric buses running on the overhead wires, the hiss of car tires on wet pavement, the crackling of coal dust underfoot. He smelled the bitterness of diesel fumes and burning coal in the air, and from some unseen exhaust vent, the loamy aroma of beet soup cooking. He was a tuning fork resonating in the frosty air, keyed and primed, but strangely calm. After 12 hours, he was as sure as he could be. He was black. Time check, 22:17. 27-year-old Nate Nash was 2 minutes away from meeting the legend, the jewel in the tiara, the most valuable asset in CIA's stable. Only 300 meters from the quiet street where he would meet Marble. Sophisticated, urbane, in his 60s, Major General in the SVR, which was the successor to the KGB's first chief directorate, the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service, the Kremlin's overseas spies. Marble had been in harness for 14 years, a remarkable run considering that Cold War Russian sources survived an average of 18 months. The grainy photos of history's lost agents clicked behind Nate's eyes as he scanned the street. Penkovsky, Motorin, Tolkachev, Polyakov, all the others, all gone. Not this one. Not on my watch. He would not fail.